Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you for joining us. Episode number 531 of the show. We're doing a movie tonight, so it's a movie review. Everybody loves these. Classic film. It was summer, so we want to do something about the summer. So we would hope that you guys have thoughts, and if you do, please send them along. Mailbag at theballlifestyle.com is the email address. You can also leave us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. And as always, we encourage you to subscribe to our bonus content by clicking the link in the show notes. It is $5 a month. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm excited to have an all-star joining this
podcast. Yes, we are also joined, special guest tonight, our dear friend from the Western Kabuki podcast and from many appearances on this show, it's our buddy Caleb. Caleb, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good to be back. It's been, I think this is like the longest time it's been since I've been on. It's been like over a year.
Wow. We're not doing as many movies, though.
Yeah. So Caleb's podcast is really good.
Yeah, it is.
And my issue with anything, and that goes for TV and everything, I'm just behind on everything. Totally. So it's crazy when people tell me like, oh, I'm team current on your podcast. Cause right, yeah. Like, I don't know how, and there's just too much stuff, but I was listening to Caleb's podcast like 2 days ago, and he had, I'm sorry, I forget her name, but the QAnon expert.
Oh yeah,
this
yeah.
Was like
from QAA. We've had almost all of the QAA hosts. We're kind of cycling through them.
Yeah, I didn't realize QAnon was over.
It no. Is
like sort of over. Sort of.
The QAnon folks are kind of like they're because it's over because like they it's not they're not getting new content, but they still believe. So they're kind of scared.
But they moved the goalposts, right? Like they just kept saying like, oh, they're going to do this today, and I didn't realize Western Kabuki is the
we're the ones cataloging these perverts. They kind of like are just kind of sauntering around, roaming the internet like Ronin, former samurai, is disgraced and had no lord to follow. They're out there though.
So the John F. Kennedy Jr. guy didn't come back. Wasn't he like the Messiah or something? He was going to deliver us all.
And the clear giveaway is he was not good looking. Hideous. And JFK Jr. was handsome as fuck.
Well, that's the ultimate disguise. If you're JFK Jr., right. You come back as a real ugly guy. Very smart.
Right.
Yeah. And they have that guy. My favorite part of the entire QAnon lore is the guy who just like people assumed he was JFK Jr. He didn't even really look like him, but people like, there he is. He's at these hosts. He's at these hosts. Yeah. And the guy never like said he was or wasn't, but he'd like assumed the role of JFK Jr. And he'd wear like those bucket fish hats and shit and just go to these rallies and people thought he was JFK Jr. And he just didn't deny it. It was so fucking funny.
That's right. Great.
It's amazing.
Well, good for them. I'm glad they have something. Oh my God, my shutters are blowing open here. I'm glad they have something to look forward to, whatever that might be. Okay. So we're talking about summer movies. And I'll take this one on. This isn't like the time Telly made us review Howard the Duck or Rad or some of the other shitty ones we've done. We're talking about, it's 4th of July week. We wanted to do a summer movie, and I remembered from my childhood loving this camp.
From a certain age.
Yeah, that's right.
We're from a certain age.
Yes. I love
Caleb is from a much less certain age. So we're like, hey, let's bring him along.
That's right. He has no nostalgia for this, and neither do I anymore. We're talking about the 1979 comedy, Bill Murray's first starring role. It's called Meatballs, and it takes place at summer camp. Here, let's play a part of the trailer.
It was a summer of discovery. Friendship.
Just the person I wanted to see. Women.
Competition.
I gotta get it!
And most of all, the summer that proved...
It just doesn't matter!
Iconic.
Meatball Special Edition.
The winner!
Yeah, so it's... I would ask Ed to walk us through the plot, but there isn't one.
Yeah, I don't think there was. So maybe we should talk about our experience. And yeah. I think I was the first to fall on this grenade because you said, let's do a summer movie. We occasionally bank a movie episode when we have other shit going on.
That's right.
And you said, let's do Meatballs. And I'm thinking, perfect summer movie, camp movie. And I watched it and I was like, oh, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And I think I conflated it with a whole bunch of shit when I was a kid. There were like a lot of camp movies, but it was like,
in the 70s and 80s.
It was.
But I think it was an excuse for 12-year-old boys to look at naked women. Like there were all kinds of sex.
Yeah.
Like a horny, like sex comedy. And so I was like, oh, that must have been that. And I know Bill Murray is a legend, like in the comedy world, like surely this is going to be amazing. And then I texted you and I was like, Brian, why don't you pump the brakes on your expectations on this thing?
Yes, my expectations were lowered.
It's on Prime, by the way, but like, you don't need to see it if you have a good opinion of it.
Yeah. Because I had nostalgia for it. I used to love it when I was a kid. And I watched it last night. And not only do I not love it as an adult, but I tried to put myself in the mindset of a 9-year-old me, or however old I was when I first saw it. And I just couldn't imagine that kid having any interest in this movie whatsoever. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if this is a Mandela effect thing where it was actually a different movie before, but I remembered all the scenes and there was zero laughs in the whole movie.
I think it probably just,
but more importantly,
enjoying summer.
More importantly,
yes.
We've been through this movie before, but we introduced a much younger man to this movie, and this is the more important.
Yeah.
Like, you had no expectations. What did you think? Yeah. What were you thinking?
Well, so, you know, I had known only a little bit about this movie because it's like kind of the proto Ghostbusters cast with Harold Ramis and then Bill Murray kind of trying their thing out. I'd heard that this was like a good movie from people on the internet who fucking lied. I don't know. Like, I guess the biggest takeaway for me is that this movie is PG. I had to look that up halfway through because that's a real tough PG rating. I guess it was just different back then, but it was like, I think like within 15 minutes, Bill Murray, who was like 30 in this movie, made some comment within like the first few minutes. He's like, oh yeah, those girls are 14. They've got all the drive, but none of the experience. Yeah. And I'm like,
jeez.
Yeah.
Like record scratch. Yeah. Wait, what am I fucking watching here? So it was a bit jarring, but it seems to me, maybe I just got numb to it, but it seems to me like they got all that stuff out in like the first 30 minutes. And then the rest of it was kind of a prototypical camp movie. Right. And I thought it was actually charming enough. What was the kid's name? Rudy. And Bill Murray's friendship.
Chris Makepeace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rudy sucks.
And he was in, I think I've seen him in some vampire movie. I remember that name, but, in any case, pretty good, you know, like just normal, but it was like, it just goes from like, off the bat, hits you over the head like a fucking frying pan with all this, like, you know, it was like he makes an announcement over the intercom, like all the people for nude sunbathing report. And it's like, dog, these girls are teenagers or whatever. Like, I don't know. I don't know about this, man. So I don't know if I'm going to get put on a watch list for watching this shit. But
it's not Revenge of the Nerds bad, but there are several references to jailbait and panty raids and just like all this, like it was kind of crazy.
I felt like at least five times during the movie I said aloud, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
Maybe I'll save some of my specific comments for when we review the plot, but like there, I'll say one up right off the bat, whether it's still at the bus station, and it was the chubby guy and Spaz. He's like, hey, Spaz, that girl's looking at you, and the camera pans over, and it's like a child.
But most of the movie focuses on the counselors. The kids are there, but the
way
kids
too
are
old. Most of them.
Yes, they're all so fucking old.
I never was a camp kid.
Yeah,
but from my understanding, the counselors were teenagers. Yes. And the kids were kids.
Yeah.
And like everyone looks pretty old.
Very. So Bill Murray was 29. He looks 47.
Yeah, that's a generous 29.
His hairline didn't look good for 29.
No, it didn't. And the boss of the camp, Morty.
Mm.
Any guesses on that guy's age?
So that's the dude with like the bucket hat and the mustache.
Yep.
Classic
pervert costume, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah, he's 44.
Pretty close, actually. 37.
Okay.
Yeah, he looked pretty. He looked 70. I mean, just wild. It starts out with everybody getting dropped off to camp, right?
In a Kmart parking lot, I believe.
Yeah,
it was Kmart.
Yeah, and they
from the past.
They shot this in Canada. It's supposed to be like Chicago area, I think. And I looked; it was filmed in the summer, but in Canada, so everybody's wearing flannels and jackets the whole time, which is not very summer.
He announces, so it like starts off that he's maybe it's just the counselors there. He's like the PA guy.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's June 25th and only 43 degrees. He announces that.
Oh,
so
they set it up.
We have to assume it is Ontario. Like this is what they're doing.
I guess you're right. I guess because Bill Murray's from Chicago and he was wearing a Chicago Blackhawks jacket. I just assumed it was a Chicago based movie. I guess it is Canada.
Tripper Harrison.
Ontario every time this shit happens. He's that big of a camp head.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he does. He's a lifer. Yeah, so Bill Murray, he's Tripper Harrison, and he immediately takes a liking to some sad kid called Rudy that happens to be motherless. I notice they set that up. His dad drops him off, and Rudy doesn't want to be at camp because he's a huge bummer.
Yeah, no one his dad dropped him off. Already lost his wife. You're gonna spend the summer with your bummer ass nerd.
Listen, I'm like you could. Just I'm mourning here.
Yeah.
I'm mourning here. I can't have this bummer bringing me way down.
Yeah,
just ship your kid off and deal with it like a man.
Dad needs to get some on.
Also, all the counselors are in their 30s, right? So they're just like hanging around. Whatever. And then some of the kid with the dead frog, he was like 4 years old.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Who ships a toddler off to camp? And why is he rooming with 16-year-olds? It was just such a weird dynamic.
Yeah. And for a whole summer. I don't know, man. Because we did like, I don't know if you guys did, but I did like Boy Scout, Cub Scout stuff. And we would do like maybe like a week or something, and it was still like in town, and our parents would come for events and stuff. But like a whole summer, like where you have to take a bus several hours out into the sticks with strange. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would fly these days.
No. So here's the plot. No,
certainly not.
Here's the plot from Wikipedia. Tripper Harrison, that's Bill Murray, leads a group of new counselors in training, CITs. Oh, they're in training. Also, they leave the kids at some point. Like, no one's in charge because they go off on their own camping trip.
Yeah, they just go do their own thing all the time.
Yeah. They go on their sex mission.
Yes.
The kids are living.
At Camp North Star, a cut-rate summer camp located in Ontario, and leads practical jokes on camp director Morty Melnick, mainly by taking Melnick from his cabin late at night so that he awakens in unusual places. Rudy Gerner, a lonely boy whose mother died about a year earlier, is sent to summer camp by his workaholic father, but decides to run away. Noticing Rudy is lacking self-confidence, Tripper tracks him to a nearby bus station and takes him under his wing. By the way, the filet of soul was only $3 at that bus station. They Jeez. Rapidly bond as friends after many morning jogs. Tripper helps Rudy gain confidence while starting a romance with Roxanne, the girl's head counselor. Now, I don't want to read too much into this, but I was getting strong groomer vibes from Tripper.
Yeah. So this is Murray, like, after one or two seasons of SNL, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he definitely has like a funny charm to him, but clearly they just threw out the script pages for him and he's just riffing, and yes, some of it works, some of it doesn't, but like there's not much script to this whole movie.
Not really. But you're just like kind of winging it, it feels like. Yeah. And also, by the way, he has this romance with Roxanne. I thought it was setting him up to like go after the whatever, the blonde lady.
Yeah.
Right.
And by romance, apparently, the
forceful romance.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really hard to watch. He bit her ass cheek while she was like screaming for help. Yes. And then,
it didn't sit well.
Yes.
That was tough.
He assaults her pretty much. He terrifies her, terrorizes her, chases her around, tackles her on a couch.
But also 90% of this movie, it should be said, is the song "Are You Ready for the Summer?"
But I was going to say this in the opening. I immediately had to dock points for two things. The bagpipes, can't do that to me.
Yeah.
And then the kids singing the "Are You Ready for Summer?" I can't have children singing at me.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Bagpipes, that's a cop funeral. And kids singing, that's worse than a cop funeral.
Yeah.
That's a human funeral.
It's funny because as soon as we decided I knew I was going to watch this, that song from nowhere popped into my, I hadn't watched the movie yet. And all of a sudden that song was in my head. I don't know. It's buried there somewhere, but it came out. It's horrible. It's, I think I read that it was written by Lisa Loeb.
What?
I think I paused it.
No, she can't be.
She wouldn't be old enough, right? Enough. Yeah. I paused.
She must have re-recorded it. That seems like an Amazon Prime situation.
Yes. Oh, that's what it is. Because I paused it and it said, "Are you ready?" They were probably trying to get me to buy the MP3 or something.
Yeah, like she recorded a different version of it.
Yes, that makes sense. I thought that was, I was like, did she do it as a child? Is she one of the singers?
Oh, I Googled, "Are you ready for the summer?" And the first thing comes up is lisaloeb.com. But no, there's no way.
No way.
She wouldn't be old enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's from something called Camp Lisa. I don't know what that is. But the original one was by Elmer Bernstein and Norman Gimbel. Two heroes.
Yeah.
Oh,
icons.
Elmer Bernstein did a ton of like 80s comedies. Like he was Trading Places and stuff like that. He did a ton of movie scores.
Yeah. So the movie focuses on this groomer relationship with Tripper and Rudy. That's if there is a plot, that is the plot. And basically Rudy's a huge loser. The first day of camp, they're playing some weird soccer game and he scores on his own team and he should be shamed for that. He's
definitely.
Yeah. But you know who else should be shamed is the goalie on the.
That's true.
I mean, that was an easy stoppage.
Yeah. Rudy didn't have much boot to him. That goalie, maybe he just wasn't expecting. You don't expect the friendly fire. I get all that, but that's pretty weak.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say. That's basically the whole story. Then he makes him good by the end. He like does good at something. He starts grooming him by taking him on runs every morning.
Yeah. And early morning runs before anyone else is awake.
Right. Don't tell anybody. He's like, get up and leave me out.
Runs feel very groomerish.
Very. And he's like, I'm going to make you into an animal.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that it's like there is no plot because like I was just doing some googling about this. The only scene, like the scenes where they become friends, like when they're playing cards and whatnot and bonding, that outside of the running, those had to be shot after the movie was finished because they're like, we don't have a plot. We have to like, we have to show them bonding in a different way.
So yes, that's true. So
that makes sense because I was watching the movie and there are certain scenes where Rudy had hit puberty and other scenes where he hadn't hit puberty.
He's a little bit older. Yeah,
so
he's got a big old Adam's apple in some scenes and he doesn't in others.
I was saving this for the end as my big zinger, but I'll just read the fun fact now. According to one of the featurettes on the DVD, several of the shots in the movie were added after initial filming ended. These included the scenes of Rudy and Tripper at the bus station and of them buying blackjack playing blackjack for peanuts. During the time off, Chris Makepeace had entered puberty and had the beginnings of a mustache. Bill Murray decided that it had to go, so he took Makepeace over to a sink, lathered him up with soap, and shaved off his mustache.
Wow.
So Makepeace received his first ever shave from Murray.
Sandusky-ish.
It's literal grooming.
Yeah.
He literally groomed him.
God damn.
Yeah.
Also, just from a filmmaking perspective, I know the grooming stuff is bad, but from a filmmaker perspective, even the busty scene was filmed after. That's like the whole point of the movie is them like becoming friends and winning later. That's the only thing that movie has.
Yeah.
The rest of it is just
You're saying like they added this scene and that scene. I think the movie was under 90 minutes and then they added a bunch of scenes. Like, what was this?
It must have had a whole different story. And they just cut big parts out and filled in more Rudy. That's the only thing.
Rudy, by the way, the only thing I had seen him was there was a movie called My Bodyguard starring a young Matt Dillon who was Rudy's bully, like Chris Makepeace's bully.
That's right. I remember
that. And then a guy would like walk him home from school and then he like fucked up Matt Dillon or something like that. But it was called My Bodyguard. That was the other thing I knew him from.
Yeah, he was around. Like this kid, I don't know what he did to get cast.
There's a lot of local talent I was looking. There's a lot of Canadian actors that couldn't hack it, I guess, in Hollywood.
And the one guy I recognized, one of the counselors, he was one of the fellow officers in the submarine Gene Hackman movie, Crimson Tide.
Oh,
he had a real career.
Oh yeah, dude. Matt Craven or something. He's one of those guys that you see in everything.
Yeah, the stars are out when Matt Craven's in town.
That's right. But he's the only other person you would recognize.
I couldn't recognize anyone else but him and the kid from My Bodyguard and obviously Bill Murray.
Yeah, and what was up with the love interest, Roxanne? She kind of looks like a young boy.
Very local.
Yeah, yes. She looks like a local hire.
Local talent.
what was the attraction for her? This Bill Murray, I guess he's supposedly funny.
He's somewhat, I mean, she might have had daddy issues because he was definitely old enough to be her dad.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Jesus Christ.
Well, no, they were probably the same age. He just looks old as shit.
No, he was, what wouldn't you say he was? 30s?
29.
Oh, maybe they were. Yeah. I thought he was like 39.
We're going to get to the bottom of this. Yeah, we got to see how bad Bill Murray looked in this. Yeah. So, yeah, he is 10 years older than her.
Oh. Yeah. So she was 19. Still pretty weird. And just a weird casting. They had no chemistry. It's just like, it's, you know, she's fine looking, I guess, but not like a bombshell.
She didn't really seem to like him.
Yeah, she had no reason to like him. And yet he gets her in the end through, I guess, attrition.
Osmosis, yeah. Existing it next to one another for long enough.
Yes.
I don't know. As these things happen. She didn't do, I'm looking at her pages. She really didn't do much. She was Canadian, by the way. She was a local hire.
Another local hire. What? Also, so it's like 3 days into camp and the parents come and visit. Like they're going to be there for the whole summer. And on the third day is Parents' Day. That's when they discuss having a panty raid. Yeah.
But maybe some kid got to a phone, called his parents, and it was like, one of these counselors is very rapey and has a perm. And yes, I need to worry about him.
Yeah,
that guy creeped me out.
Well, disgusting to look at.
Well, hold on. There were a couple dudes with perms. There was the blonde dude with the perm, and there was a dark-haired dude with the perm. There were multiple perms amongst the counselors.
The blonde dude was super creepy.
What about the dude Lance?
Which one was Lance?
He was the one that was rocking.
He was the guy in the blue blockers?
Yeah, he was like the Coke dealer-looking guy.
Okay. Yeah, he was creepy.
He was chilling at camp in a Speedo. He had budgie smugglers going, like, with children around.
Putting out a vibe?
Yeah, I mean, just the whole thing was just so fucking weird.
Now, I wrote down this quote, but out of context, I guess I should have. But it, Tripper, Roxanne, I can see right down your blouse. Let's wrestle. And then some rapey foreplay.
Yes.
I'm not sure what point in the movie it was, but it was consistent throughout the movie.
Dude, he bit her ass cheek. And she was like screaming for help. What the fuck? Yeah,
she was
that?
Like, don't get away from me. Get off me. Yeah. And he continued until a witness showed up. And then he acted like the victim.
At that point, he puts her on top of him. And
yeah.
Real bad.
What was up with the B storyline of this movie is the rivalry with the rich camp. This is the poor camp.
Mohawk.
Yeah. And they're in rivalry with the rich camp, which is Camp Mohawk. And they have competitions. And yet most of the competitions are between the counselors. I thought camp was for the kids.
Yeah, dude. So good. Again, imagine if they didn't add those extra scenes between Bill Murray and Rudy.
Yeah.
What would this movie be about? A bunch of like guys in their 30s showing off to children.
Yes. Yeah. Doing the Western role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
And that Camp Mohawk like really leaned into their Native American or they weren't even Native American, Native Canadian.
Yeah.
But I felt like the Washington Redskins and Cleveland Indians are like, hey, we weren't so bad. Yeah. Like, what is going on?
Mohawk. The basketball game, the Camp North Star basketball players, which are nerds. One's named Spaz. It's like your textbook nerds. One's named Spaz. He's got the tape on his glasses. He's a loser. One's real fat, except he's not really that fat. He's just like
70s fat.
He's not modern fat at all, but they really lay it on because he's always got snacks like in his waistline and it's nothing but candy bars.
The sex mission, everyone else goes out and hooks up, and Spaz and the fat guy with the bowl cut are just mauling treats. I love that.
Yeah, he brought a cooler of like chips and candy bars and one banana. There was one banana, and the rest was just like Snickers.
The best part is there was enough like women camp counselors to where they Spaz and the fat guy could have hooked up.
The directors were
like, no.
Yes.
Remember they had that one dud nerd lady that was playing tennis with them.
Yeah.
The other one.
Yeah.
They could have, but Spaz and the fat guy were not getting it in that night.
Oh yeah.
So they had a nice night of eating treats on the beach.
Yeah. The female counselors were gettable, but these guys just had no game. They were sadly lacking game, but they try to play basketball and they can't even fake be bad at basketball, believably.
That was pathetic.
Like, because Harold Ramis, wait, no, Ivan Reitman directed this. I think it's the first movie he ever directed. And did
Ramis write this?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
With some other guys, I think.
But the Mohawk, like when they had the basketball showdown, and these guys were terrible, but didn't they imply this was like the movie Wildcats where the better team also cheated while they did?
Yes.
It, right.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
The Camp Mohawk is cheating in every event.
They are.
They didn't really seem to cheat in basketball. They were just better.
Well, yeah, no, they attempted to cheat at basketball with the slingshot guy, right?
Oh my God. I forgot. The same guy almost kills a child during the swim event.
Yeah. The swimming event is holding on to a beach ball and kicking across the pool. And the Camp Mohawk guy shoots one of the beach balls with a
stainless steel ball.
Yeah. 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 It could have put his eye out.
Could have killed him.
I get him. Point out, I thought this was an unrealistic, like a summer camp would have something so shitty. I went for a bike ride in New York City today, and I passed by a park, and it said, like, Camp Bounce Ball. And all it was, you know, the where you can have the inflatable thing? It's like almost like sumo wrestling. You have kids inside a ball.
Yeah.
This was a whole camp where it just had, like, high-speed collisions between the kids. And I was like, this is the whole camp? And I rode by that Bryant like 3 hours later, and they were just doing the same shit. So these people convince parents, and then they're just like, yeah, we're just going to have these kids run at each other top speed.
Yeah, bring your kids here to get CTE.
Hours in the sun.
Yeah. For $350 a week, your kids can get CTE at this camp, being bounced around in a giant inflatable ball. What else? Like, I don't even know what to talk about this stupid movie.
Well, so they, like, they changed in that the second half of the basketball game. They're like, well, we're not going to win, so let's pants them and take off.
Yes!
Yeah. We'll lose with style.
Pantsing was so hot in the 80s. Right. The pantsing, there's
you. Is that a real thing that people just did?
Yes!
I've never seen that happen in real life.
There was
That perm guy definitely was into it.
Yeah, he liked a little too much.
In junior high, when you went to P.E., they made you put on your PE clothes, which, like, in retrospect, just you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt anywhere, jeans. Like, how come you have to put on special different clothes to do PE? But you go out and do PE in your PE clothes, and your PE shorts were just like those, elastic, just like cheap elastic shorts.
Bike shorts.
So people were always getting pantsed. There was so much pantsing. There was a pantsing every day. Every single day somebody get pantsed. It was the time of pantsing. Occasionally somebody would also get a wedgie, but on the West Coast we called those a Melvin. Oh, did you see
what?
Did you see what some kid got a Melvin? Did you see a guy in first period PE got a everybody grabbed him Melvin, and gave him a Melvin. Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
We had this thing. Maybe this was just like my particular group of friends. I'd assumed it was a bigger thing. We called it the Dom Ching, where you clap your hands together and you run up behind the guy and you get him right between the cheeks. I never did that because I
was goosing.
Yeah. Okay, you guys call it goosing.
Yeah. Goosing.
Dom Ching for some reason. I don't know why.
There were a lot. These pranks.
Sounds kind of racist.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, definitely does. Now that I'm saying it out loud now. Our Lord's year 2024.
But in retrospect, this is. Maybe this is why Meatballs was considered funny, because now that I think about it, there was also the atomic sit-up. There was...
Do you remember the atomic sit-up?
Yeah. I believe Peyton Manning atomic sit-upped a female physical therapist in college.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
I knew a guy who worked on a commercial with Peyton Manning when he was like right out of college, and he was like, that dude is the grabbiest guy I've ever worked with.
That's just that shovel nose fuck. That's
Yeah. So maybe that's why it was considered funny. Like, A, we didn't know about grooming then. So we thought it was perfectly normal for a 29-year-old adult man to have a 13-year-old child alone in his cabin gambling and having burp offs. And was burping considered funny? Was burping real hilarious in the 1980s?
Yeah, it was funny as a kid. Sure. Caleb, I just realized. So we talked about this is the first Murray, Ramis, Reitman kind of movie. Do you, or I don't know when the last time you saw, I still think I find Ghostbusters funny. And to me, this feels nowhere close to Ghostbusters humor.
I love Ghostbusters. I know that some of it hasn't aged, and I know there's like a strange amount of kind of social politics behind the history of Ghostbusters and the future of it and whatever. I'm not really interested in that. I still think that they're a very...
I'm a fan of that movie.
It's true. This man has no dick. Yes.
You know. Doesn't always age 100% well, but I mean, fuck it. Not everything needs
to. But it seems light years different from this movie with the same crew.
Hey, almost the same crew. I don't know. Maybe they, Ghostbusters, they had a woman in the writing room that was like, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Hey, by the way, guys, the tackling and biting the ass of a woman probably doesn't work.
Not comedy. Yes.
You could totally tell, too, by the way, just as an aside, when the scene when the fat guy and Spaz are trying to, like, again, this is the whole Porky's thing, trying to spy on the lady camp counselors or whatever. Remember that under their thing? And the fat guy gets stuck and, you could tell that this scene was written by dudes because there's no way that the women would go out there and like what was like swat his bare like pants him and then swat his bare ass with a fly swatter. Like that's not how that would go down at all.
And he was stuck under the cabin because he was so fat. Except he's like as fat as me. Like he's just like regular fat.
You could like see behind him in that scene. So there's like he wasn't actually even close to being stuck. It was like very unbelievable. But
yeah,
I guess they just couldn't find a fat enough guy for that because it was the 70s and we didn't have guys like that yet.
I understand that there is a genre of pornography of people being stuck places you think this scene in Meatballs was the genesis of the stuck in the dryer pornos?
Damn, a really early version of this. That could be.
Yeah.
That could be.
So more.
I gotta ask you guys this.
Yeah.
How are we getting stuck in dryers? I don't understand that at all.
Yes. I've never been stuck in a dryer.
I don't know how one could feasibly be stuck in a dryer.
I've never known anybody. The Consumer Product Safety Commission would never allow a dryer to be manufactured that someone could get stuck in.
You know how you see warnings for stuff and it's like, that's crazy you even have to warn.
Yeah.
My dryer doesn't even show don't climb in and get stuck in here. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
It would be really funny if you just had a very stupid person that got stuck with their head between the banister railings. Like that's believable.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. That I believe has happened. So along the lines of what you guys were just talking about with Ghostbusters from the fun facts, this is the first of six collaborations of Bill Murray and Harold Ramis, with Ramis functioning in any combination of various roles as actor, writer, director. The movies include Stripes, Meatballs, Caddyshack, Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2, and Groundhog Day. So
aside from Ghostbusters 2.
Yes, yeah.
That is a murderer's row of comedies.
Yes, other than Meatballs.
I'll stand on business for Ghostbusters 2 any day.
Yeah.
Not as good as the first. Misunderstood, I think.
Yes.
But yeah, like a lot of great movies and then Meatballs for some reason. I don't know. I guess they're their first one, so they're just getting it out of their system. I don't know.
In their defense, if you talked about – I mean, not that you would talk about – my sexual conquest is great, but my first was particularly bad. So maybe this is like them losing their virginity that it's really bad.
Well, what's his name? Wrighton wasn't supposed to direct this either. They wanted the guy, the Animal House guy. What's his name? I'm drawing a blank.
John Landis.
Landis. They wanted John Landis to direct this, but he was too busy, as I recall. So maybe they just weren't ready for
it. Yeah, he was making Blues Brothers, and John Landis was a big deal in the 80s until he
murdered Jennifer Jason Leigh's dad with a helicopter.
Cut him in half. Yeah. Yeah. Then he didn't work as much after that. Cause he was on trial for manslaughter.
He can't even cut a guy in half with a helicopter while due to woke. He got cancer.
And also a couple of Vietnamese kids on the set.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So he had three bodies on him at that point. The softball game. So,
The
softball game hinges on a very strange ruling because a fly ball is hit to the left field, and the left fielder is a large-breasted
chesty number,
female, and the softball it kind of goes off her gloves and into her shirt or jersey. And then she's not able to retrieve it because she's got two large breasts there and a softball.
Too big to catch.
Yes. But
somehow that makes sense.
But that's a catch. If it lands in your shirt.
Totally catch. That's a catch.
That's an out.
As long as it doesn't hit
the ground,
that's a catch. I just love the preceding that, I can't remember her name. She was like, hey, you see that busty girl in left field? Hit it to her. She can't catch. Like,
yeah.
Okay. If you can really control that well where you hit the ball.
Yeah.
don't aim it at a person, no matter how chesty she might be. Hit it in the left center, right. Maybe, right?
Just say, hey, you know what? If you have this kind of aim, hit it a home run. Hit it over the wall because you are super talented. You can aim this shit.
Yes, if you're capable of hitting it to the outfield, just don't hit it to anybody. Hit it in the gap. Like, just
really bad coaching strategy to have your chestiest player in left field.
It's true. You know what I'm saying? It's true. Yes. She should have been the catcher.
Yeah, I was going to say, make her the catcher.
But this is what happens when a bunch of huge nerd comedy writers that had never done any sports do a movie that's basically, other than the grooming storyline, it's basically a sports movie. It's a competition movie. And none of the sports look remotely realistic.
Well, they had the grooming part down.
Yes. Also, when Bill Murray does his iconic "It Just Doesn't Matter" scene, everybody starts chanting along. I was getting some pretty big David Koresh vibes off that. Like, was this a prequel? Like, he gets them all chanting. You know, he's a charismatic leader. He's isolating the one kid. It's us against the world.
I read this in the fun facts. I don't know if you noticed, but Janet Reno was a member of Camp Mohawk at the time, so possibly.
Wow. Yeah, she's one of the Richies at Camp Mohawk. On one of the runs, again, there should just be a supercut of all the Tripper and Rudy scenes, because he's like coaching him to run, and he's, get out here and run with me every morning, 6 a.m. And on one of the runs, he's like, they're talking. He goes, Bill Murray goes, yeah. He goes, I'd rather run because it takes my mind off sex.
It's a totally normal thing to say to a 12-year-old.
Imagine having that. Is that
going to happen to me someday? Yes.
there's a Pollock joke. Again, very, very of a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I missed that. What was the Pollock joke?
I don't remember it. I just wrote down Pollock joke. I don't remember that. I guess I should have made that note.
I was like very into taking notes in the beginning of the movie, and then it just trailed off. And like the last thing I wrote is a quote that says, "Virgins to the right, non-virgins to the left, Tripper." Insane. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not sure what the context.
That was like their dance. They had like an event.
Oh, he's like licking Roxanne's face in that one.
Yeah, they're dancing. And everybody's, but it's the counselor's dance or whatever it is, event, party. But also there was just some interloping kids mingling about. It was a weird, again, everything about this movie is so weird. It's just not what I remember.
And then like after this is when they all, the counselors are like, all right, we need to pair off and fuck, and we're just going to leave the kids. Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's when they go on like a trip.
Yeah, they go on a camping trip from camp, and they all leave in canoes, and they canoe away. Who's watching the kids? All the counselors go camping. Yeah, Morty's there by himself.
What's he doing, dude? I don't trust him. I trust him to leave.
And just seeing him with that bucket hat and mustache, like, you don't want him with any kids.
Well, plus, he's such a heavy sleeper that if some emergency were to pop off in the middle of the night, he wouldn't even hear the fire alarm.
He's capable of having his bed moved to the middle of nowhere.
Yes, multiple times, every night.
Secretly just crushing bottles. He had a real big problem.
Well, did you notice? Because when they would move his bed, they would also move his nightstand. And his nightstand had at least, it had like 10, 11 pill bottles on it. Just pills on the nightstand, on the shelves, nothing but pills next to Morty's bed.
He's like a Heath Ledger type.
Yeah, yeah. He's self-medicating.
Yeah. It's not easy being Morty. Not easy being Morty.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. I'm looking at my notes too. This is just the one scene. This movie does something that a lot of movies of this time did, where guys put on aftershave and then go, ow, like it hurts.
Yes.
Aftershave doesn't hurt. What was in your guys' aftershave this time? What the fuck was that about?
That was a big thing.
I gotta be honest. Watching Home Alone many times over the years, I wondered what it meant, and I never understood.
Yeah.
Aftershave just simply does not hurt.
It's just a smell, right? Like, yeah. Why was Kevin...
Something? I don't know. I don't understand.
I think Alfalfa and Spanky would throw on the aftershave as well and have it be painful. Like, that's been a common theme for many, many years. It's good. Like quicksand, it's gone the way of the dodo. No more burning aftershave scenes.
And guard dog Dobermans.
We should start, like, the three of us could go into business. We could make an aftershave that hurts and market it as, like, a don't use pussy soft aftershave.
Yeah.
Like, this is alpha.
It's supposed to hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to hurt.
Yeah, like
back in the movies, it used to hurt.
Yeah, like all those Manosphere guys all those dudes on Instagram that look like they just got out of prison and they just do burpees all the time. And it's like you want to be a better man, better father, better uncle, better worker, better priest. Which,
speaking of grooming, like most of these people that are buying these classes are also children. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you see that famous TikToker of that kid that was like talking like Andrew Tate, talking about how like you're out chasing girls, I'm stacking money, and it's like, you, sir, are 12. You have not finished puberty. Stop this. This is nonsense. But we could target people like that.
He's on the right track to be a Sigma male, Caleb. And that's all that matters.
That's Sigma male aftershave.
Speaking of that, what did you guys think when Tripper ended the poker or blackjack game with Rudy by saying, "I think you're pretty tired. Tomorrow night we play for real stakes."
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It's
very concerning. If you look at it through a modern lens, what is happening there? You know how I always drop my pencil?
What did you say they were going to play for? It was like cucumbers or something. What was it?
It was peanuts.
But yeah, but they said tomorrow night has real stakes, and he said some sort of vegetable.
I did. If he said cucumbers, no. I'm going to blow my rape whistle.
Holy shit.
It was bad. It was something like that. It was like, yeah, anyway, but it was like, not good. And then you could totally see him do the, I guess we're fresh out of cucumbers. Maybe we'll play strip.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We'll play for pickles.
Jesus Christ. Maybe that was pickles. I can't remember. Yeah, something,
That would be
something real bad.
Two on the nose.
Wildly. By the way, again, this is a scene that they went back and added after the movie. So
yes. Yeah. That's where he got where he got literally groomed for that scene. Speaking of,
I was going to say, like, so the movie leads up to the big showdown with Camp Mohawk. Yeah. And if I know anything about rich people and especially rich kids, is there's no way they would dignify hanging out or competing against the poor.
Yes.
That's how America has been established, that the rich people try to separate themselves, not, all right, we're going to go roll with the pigs in the mud. Like, no.
Yeah.
The rich kids would never compete against
unless there's like a whole nother like league of like rich camps. And then like these guys will slum it once just to stick it to them.
Pad their record.
Yeah. I guess maybe that.
But it was kind of weird because even in the opening scene, Spaz gets bullied by the Camp Mohawk counselors.
Yeah, they dump a milkshake on his head, which also appeared in a lot of 80s movies.
Yes.
People were just get milkshakes. Hey, I love a good milkshake. I'm not dumping that shit over anyone unless it's like a serious situation.
Who wastes a delicious milkshake?
Love milkshakes. Strawberry
milkshakes these days anymore either. Kind of also going the way of the dodo.
Oh, those are good.
One thing that I thought about that was that scene where like the guys that were doing the bullying, the Mohawk counselors, look like guys that would get bullied today.
Yeah.
Now we're in a post Big Bang Theory world where Spaz would be the one, I think, doing the milkshaking to these
jocks. That's so true.
That's a good point.
The nerds have risen. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that,
a little too much.
Yes. Speaking of, much like the aftershave situation, Spaz thinks some honeys are flirting with him. And what's the fat guy's name again? I can't remember.
I feel bad. We don't even know his name. Yeah. Hang on. Go to the IMDb.
And the fat guy who
called, like, they'll have a fat name.
Yeah, he's got, he definitely has one.
I'm sure it wasn't a clever name. It was like Beefy or something like that. I got to look it up.
He's like, he's always trying to get Spaz late. And he's like, go talk to him. Those girls are looking at you. Go talk to him. And he goes over there and he's like, hey, what's up, ladies? What's happening? And they're like, your zipper's down. No bigger burn in the world. There's nothing worse that anybody could ever tell you than you've forgotten to zip up your zipper. And it's like, why? It just, hey, I just got to zip it. Like, it's nothing to be embarrassed about because your dick is near where the zipper is.
Oh, Fink is the fat guy.
Fink, yeah.
Fink, okay.
Speaking of that, Fink, Keith Knight, Fink, and Peter Hume, the stomach. So there's a hot dog eating contest.
The eating contest guy at the end.
Yes. So what were the rules to that exactly? Because nobody was counting the amount of dogs. We're supposed to just assume that they were just had to eat them all because Fink wins by consuming every dog. So was it not a timed event? It's just like whoever finishes 88 hot dogs first wins. I was unclear as to the rules, but the Keith Fink and the other guy, the stomach, they died exactly 2 months apart in 2007. At ages 51 and 54, respectively.
Wait, 54. So he died like a month after Meatballs? Was he?
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to do the math. Yeah, he was 54 in 2007.
What?
And so he must have been a teen.
Keith Knight on IMDb that you click from Meatballs, I was like, damn, he looked good. He got his shit together. Not the same guy.
Different Keith Knight. The not dead one.
You Google Keith Knight, Canadian actor, and then you'll get the real deal.
It's never explained why the movie title is Meatballs, except meatball is a general term for a silly person, and the campers in this movie do act silly. Fink calls Spaz a meatball while they're playing tennis. I had wondered about that. What the fuck is, why is the movie called Meatballs? And if a meatball is a silly person, I mean, that is not a colloquial term. That is very niche, probably in my Canadian opinion. Oh, maybe.
Probably Canadian.
Canadian. I didn't think about that. I didn't even realize. I thought it was in Chicago.
Because in my childhood, nobody was called, you meatball.
No. You meatball.
Sounds like some Canadian shit.
Yeah, it does. The red
shirt. Harold Ramis and is also from Chicago.
Yeah.
Where is this meatball lexicon coming from?
I don't know. The red shorts and colorful Hawaiian shirt that Bill Murray is seen wearing in the movie were his own clothes. I would say that's the best part of the movie for me, is his wardrobe.
Yeah. Look good.
Yeah. Did you guys notice that everyone's shoes were like, any homeless guy you run into on any street had way better condition of sneakers than every kid at this camp. There were literally like soles were hanging out the bottoms. Where'd these shoes come from?
Some of these kids were actual campers. Like, did they, well, the cast was almost all like Canadian kids.
Yes. So they shot it at a real camp in Canada. And I think they used like the local kids. So yes.
And they're just like, you wouldn't mind if we had some 39-year-olds counseling your kids, right?
we're gonna play blackjack for peanuts with your kids, if that's okay. You won't mind. Did this movie make any money? Let's look.
I mean, we've heard of it, so it must have.
Yeah.
Because the budget had to be between $400 and $480.
Yeah, let's look this up. Bill Murray. Okay. Oh, you got to go pro to get the. They used to give that away for free. How about the Rotten Tomatoes? What do you guys estimate?
44.
Certified fresh, 73%.
The meatballs was the highest grossing film in the United States without any U.S. investment at the time. Up until 1982, with Chariots of Fire, it grossed $70 million worldwide.
Whoa, that was fucking huge.
Mm-hmm. So that's fucking massive, dude.
I mean, they've made four of these, by the way.
Meatballs?
Yes, there's three more. It goes up to Meatballs 4. So if you
I remember one of the sequels that I've seen, like an alien shows up.
God,
like it goes full 80s.
Oh, that's
probably post ET or something. Then an alien shows up at camp.
Well, that's like that Ernest like that. Scared Stupid that Caleb reviewed with us. That Caleb turned us on to.
Fantastic series of movies.
Yeah, that was. But that movie was so, because it's supposed to be a kid's movie and it's fucking terrifying. And it's like somebody smoked too much spice and had a fever dream. Like it is the wildest. It's not for kids. I saw this on Reddit. Today I learned Bill Murray closed his deal on Meatballs the day before it started shooting and routinely ignored the script. His first day, he improvised his way through a scene where he's introducing all the counselors in training. He showed up, read the pages, and threw them away saying, I got this.
It kind of feels that way.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, it shows. He really thought he was cooking by doing that, but Bill... It showed.
Yeah.
They were making movies all the way into the fucking 90s.
Yeah. But I don't think they connect.
Bill Murray was involved.
No, I don't think he's in them. Yeah. I think they're independent, like camp comedies that are just called Meatball. Like they go around to different camps.
Meatballs 3 does involve one of the original characters. And it also has Harold Ramis in it, I think, wrote it. One of them does. I'm reading this now.
Okay.
Yeah. Rudy is back with a different actor.
Can you imagine a movie that they didn't have Chris Makepeace available to star in it?
His dance card was too full. They couldn't afford him. He's too big a star at that point.
Yeah, they got Patrick Dempsey.
What? Can't buy me lunch?
I think I might have seen that.
Yeah, dude.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Okay.
I know what I'm watching when we're done recording.
Meatballs 3?
Yeah, I have to go through. You got to go in chronological order.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right.
Because you'd be lost if you watched Meatballs 3, right?
I mean, you explained Meatballs to us.
You left so many unanswered questions.
You're the one that told us that the Fast and Furiouses are not chronological.
That's correct.
They happen in different time periods. So
have you guys seen any of the new ones, by the way, since we did that review?
No.
I saw 10. That had the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Was that the most recent one?
No. Which one is the newest one?
I watched the most recent one. And I was thinking, I'd like to discuss with Caleb. And then it's a cliffhanger. We're still waiting.
Oh, it's like split. It's like they split it up like the Star Wars.
It's like half and half.
Yeah.
Fast 10 Part 2 is coming next year.
So while we're reviewing this, I have a good idea for our next show with Caleb, because our view of childhood movies is crazy compared to what Caleb has experienced. You know how I sometimes describe a movie to you?
Yeah.
What if we describe like a famous movie that Caleb hasn't seen?
Oh, yeah.
And we try to explain something to Caleb and he's going to have to react to it.
What are your, I bet you could do one like off the top of your head right now. There's probably.
I'm just thinking, Caleb, if you're like, this was a famous movie I've never seen, mm-hmm. Brian and Ed, you describe it to me. I think we could do something funny.
Let's pick a couple of this era, because actually, this is a bit of a gap in my movie lore.
Yeah,
if we had to describe this movie, it would be impossible.
It definitely
tried for the last hour, and combined, we didn't do that good of a job.
Yeah, we all just watched it.
Yeah. I literally watched this last night.
Yeah, it's fresh in our brains, and I don't even know what it was.
I don't think that's our fault, really. This is the kind of movie, it's high art. You just have to experience it and let it wash over you.
Yeah.
Don't worry about things like structure and narrative and plot.
Yeah, you have to eat mushrooms.
This is a vibe movie.
Yeah.
It's a series of sex missions.
Yeah, yes. But there's also very little sex. Like there's the one girl in there's the one girl in the bathing suit that's like the bombshell.
There's the one couple, the one couple who like they've been together for years, the counselors.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we wrap it up there. I don't have anything else.
Oh, they sing the Latin. So the kids get dismissed and they sing that song. The North Star song.
Oh, yeah.
They smoke and drink and fool around.
Yeah.
That was the big finale.
And also, when did they learn that song? Like,
show them learning it at all.
Yeah, they act like they just all know the song. They're all at camp. A lot of them are at camp for the first time.
Shouldn't they be doing the Branch Davidian chant?
Yes.
At the end instead?
Yes. He kind of looks like Koresh. He's very charismatic. I'm just saying. Dude. Like, that could have been
glasses.
Yeah, that could have been the sequel. He rides off on a motorcycle at the end. You know, he's a thrill seeker.
And then Janet Reno shows up.
That's right. Yes.
Sets everything That's on right. fire.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. Let's wrap it up there. I appreciate you stomaching this film for us, Caleb. It's always pleasant to have you on the show.
Yeah, yes. Of course. I love coming on.
We're fans. Ed, fantastic job as always.
Great job, us.
Me, not so much. For Ed Daly, for special guest Caleb, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode number 531 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man Jay Stu and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus Daily's choice, Ed's taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Yeah. Talking loud, comers, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star. Even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot. Man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man. It really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.